The last time that we had such a gathering, saints, was February 1st, 2020, where we gathered here, actually much larger number of saints. A lot of parents were with us. We may have actually called it a parents' conference and spend a longer time than we're going to spend together today. And if you recall, and it's okay if you don't recall, I'm going to remind you anyway, that was right before everything shut down, less than a month and a half later. And that year, one of the banners of the church, the Lord's leading, the direction that the Lord led us to, of course, how could we know what was going to happen in the ensuing months? But this fellowship, these banners, came out of the fellowship with the brothers in the latter part of 2019. And in January, we had a time to declare this to the whole church. And that is the church life in every family, right? The church life in every family, the church life in every home. Or maybe we said it this way, the family life for the church life and the church life in every home. And that was in January. We declared this to the whole church, and we felt it's good to have the parents together, have the serving ones together, to see how the Lord would lead us more specifically in this labor. So we had some fellowship on that day, February 1st, and if I'm not mistaken, somewhere around March 15th was the first time that we had online meetings. People were trying to figure out what Zoom was, and anyway, we're so much more well-versed in that technology right now. So much has occurred in these past two and a half years. If you recall, I would say a great concern of ours when we went online, great concern of the brothers in our fellowship was, what about the children? How will we take care of the children? Because, saints, there's always a battle for the children. There's always a battle over the children. And so before I continue the history, I want to read you a couple of verses from Exodus chapter 10. From Exodus chapter 10. Remember, saints, remember, we keep repeating this as we go through the crystallization studies of Samuel, and we're coming to review Kings. Of course, we went through that crystallization training, and now soon we'll get into those messages with the whole church. Everything and anything that occurred with Israel is a picture, is a type of the New Testament church. So we have to pay attention to those writings, to those details. Even some things we would read in the Old Testament. Haven't you ever had this reaction that you read that and, why is that here? Like, oh, you might even be, oh, terrible. Why is that even worthy to be a verse in the Bible? One such verse I'm going to read to you in a moment. But why? Why? Because all of that are examples, are types. And then it says in 1 Corinthians 10, 11, they were written for our admonition, right? They were written for admonition. They happened as examples. They happen as examples, but they were written for our admonition. You know, admonition is different in nature than an example. An example just shows you a kind of principle, brings out a point. As the children's teachers, you use many, many examples. But I think parents use more admonition. What is admonition? Admonition is a warning. It's a warning that really bringing out this point, that if you don't heed my warning, you will suffer a consequence. That's an admonition. So the things that were written from the Old Testament are meant to wake us up, or we will suffer some loss. The verse that we just pray read, Psalm 127, 3 and 4. Actually, those are very positive verses. Those are very positive, right? The children are a heritage of Jehovah, right? The fruit of the womb, a reward. Then what? Like arrows. You might think, oh, wow, they're arrows. But no, if the children are like arrows, then right away, this puts the whole scenario in the setting of a warfare, of a battle. Why are children like arrows? Why would you need arrows if you didn't have to defend something, if you didn't have to fight for something? So do you see the Bible intertwines this matter of the children with the battle, with the warfare? And so Exodus 10, this is part of the struggle between Moses and Pharaoh. Moses and Pharaoh, you know, they had those 12 struggles. And among those 12 conflicts, the 10 plagues were presented. And here, starting from verse 1, then Jehovah said to Moses, go to Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of the servants, that I may show these signs of mine in the midst of them. And that you may, look at this, and that you may recount in the hearing of your son and your grandson. Right there, the family is emphasized. All the things, how I made a mockery of Egypt, and recount my signs, and so on. So all the things that Jehovah was doing there, God intended, pass these on. Speak to your children and your grandchildren about these things. And actually in chapters 12 and 13, at the time of the Passover, there's some specific instruction. It says, when your children ask you, what do these things mean? What do these things, and you could imagine, the mom and dad had never done anything like this before. So slay a lamb, that they'd done before, slay a lamb, yes. But then we cook it and eat it. But tonight, they slay a lamb, and daddy takes some of the lamb with a little hyssop and then puts it on the door. Ew! So he's kind of painting the doorpost a little bit with a little thing of blood. Oh, no, won't the children ask, Mommy, what is daddy doing? So God anticipated this. God anticipated this, and he said, you should tell them. You should instruct them. Oh, Jehovah brought us out by a mighty hand. And that's the job of the parents. And so I've said before that night, the parents served as what? Priests and teachers. Priests and teachers. There was no, from what we know, in that time, no equivalent to a children's meeting with the children of Israel. This responsibility was in each household for the parents to pass on these things to the children and the grandchildren. So grandparents have a role as well. Okay, then goes on, verse 3. And Moses and Aaron came to Pharaoh and said to him, thus says Jehovah, the God of the Hebrews, how long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve me. Then later on, down in verse 8, it says, so Moses and Aaron were brought back to Pharaoh, and he said to them, go, serve Jehovah your God. But who exactly are going? And this is what I want to point to you. So Pharaoh, you know, Pharaoh says, go. This is before chapter 12, where they actually went out. Because he says, go, then he changes his mind again. He says, go. But who exactly are going? And if you have it, I don't know if you have, some of you have it open, read with me, verse 9. And Moses said, we will go with our young and with our old. We will go with our sons and with our daughters, with our flocks and with our herds, for we must hold Jehovah's feast. And he said to them, let Jehovah indeed be with you. If ever I will let you go with your little ones as well. So the Pharaoh, who's a type of Satan, says, you go, but there's no way I'm letting your little ones go. Do you know, saints, many parents here, that's Satan's view for your children. I'll let you go, but there's no way I'm going to let your little ones go. There is a battle over the children. This is a type. And this battle is every day around us. And we, as believing parents, we must be on guard. And I would say, saints, we must be vigilant every day. Every day over our children. And we, as the serving saints, must not just come giving lessons on a weekly basis. We appreciate your labor and your prayer. But we all have to understand the setting that all our children are in. Every single day. Every single day. And often even the parents would, one way of, I don't say it's a way of parenting, but it's a way of letting them have some leisure time, and even this might be educational at times, is you let them be on a tablet. Yeah. Be vigilant, saints. Be vigilant. The little games, the little things that are there, sometimes they're not so innocent. And I don't just mean the ads. You could have a way to block ads and all that. But pay attention. Pay attention. You know why? Because everything is a seed. S-E-E-D. Everything is a seed. And it's being sown into these young hearts. You know, the we just had this conference on the matter of the tree of life. Actually, I shouldn't say that. That's going to be part of my prophecy in week one, that this conference is not on the tree of life. You know, we're starting this. We're starting this Monday. Is that right? Monday, week one, tree of life. Yes. Yes, for next week. We're ending what we're covering now on grace. No, week five, right? Grace. And then we start. Is that right? Oh, one more week. Okay, one more week. No. Okay, whatever Sam said. Yeah. So we're starting week one. And that's a very important day. The readings of that day. Please pay attention to the readings of on day one. Okay? Please pay attention. Whether you have the book, if you have the book, the Holy Word for Morning Revival, you have to read the. There's an introductory before day one that you have to read, okay? And if you have the sheet that we use, it's included in day one. That's very important. And the point is this, and I don't want to get off track. I know we're talking about the children, but this conference is not just on the tree of life and enjoying the tree of life. It's on taking the way of the tree of life. That's different. That's different. And you'll read in the excerpts. You read in those excerpts, Brother Lee's experience, how even at the age of 40, he had been in the Lord's recovery sometime. The Lord had already used him sometime, but he saw something of the tree of life, and took the way of the tree of life. He saw the tree of life before. He enjoyed the tree of life before, but it's different taking the way of the tree of life. So I just say that much. But anyway, in that conference, we said this, that God's first command is eat. And the first relationship that God has with mankind is an eating relationship. And so God didn't want man to work, right? We make a strong point about this in the conference. However, if you look at Genesis chapter 2, after presenting the tree of life, there was one thing God wanted man to do. He did want man to work. You know what I'm talking about, right? He wanted man to what? Take care of the garden. Two things. I think the King James says to till it and to guard it. To till it and to guard it. The Recovery Version says to work it and to keep it. And, you know, the ground in the Bible, I mean, many of you are the teachers. You have taught these lessons on the sower. The Lord Jesus, the sower went out to sow. Many of us have given messages on this, even gospel messages. The sower went out to sow. What's the soil? That's the human heart. The human heart. And what's the seed? Well, the seed is the word of God in that parable, in Matthew 13. So God charged man to till it. What's that? That's to make it soft for the proper seed to come in and the proper seed to grow, right? And guard. What does that mean? Make sure that the improper things don't come in, because the human heart is open to everything. The human heart can receive from anywhere. So we, as parents and serving saints, this is our great commission, to till and to guard. And I would say to both the parents and the serving saints, we have to pay lots of attention to tilling, not just guarding. You know, in this day and age, I know there are many concerns with those kind of seeds, the other seeds that are sown, even in elementary school, even in kindergarten, even in first grade. One particular point that is of great alarm to many believing parents is this matter of gender identity. That this is, when is this introduced, right? In some places, it's first grade. In some states, it's first grade. In some cities, it's first grade. We have to be vigilant over this. Are they going to, is this part of their curriculum? Is this part of what the teacher does? We have to be vigilant. Okay, well, not just this. Many things that are even alarming, that unthinkable, unfathomable, when we were children. But saints, it's easy to focus a little too much on those things. And so our entire way is defensive. Our entire manner is protective. No, we must guard. That's part of the commission. But that's the second part of the commission. The first part of the commission is to till the soil. What does that mean? You do something to make the heart soft. And as parents and serving ones, yes, we want their hearts to be soft toward the Lord. But firstly, their hearts have to be soft toward you. And as moms and dads, especially mommies, the mommies have the hearts of the children. The mommies have the hearts of the children. Whenever something, mommy, it's a kind of spontaneous. I don't know if any of the dads here have trained their child to say daddy first. But from my experience, my grandchildren, observing my children and my grandchildren and so many children through the years, mommy is, it comes out first. Unless you're out with daddy somewhere and you know he's the only one. But it's mommy. So mommies, you have the heart of your children. Be vigilant, because other seeds are coming. Sooner or later, other seeds, other influences are coming. And yes, we have to till and guard. But I tell you, if there's more tilling, it's not that it's less guarding, but maybe you don't have to be on guard as quite as much, because their hearts are yours. And whenever things come, they come to you. So there's a kind of balance of tilling and keeping, or tilling and guarding. Okay, so that's the first commission. Why? Because everything is a seed. Everything is a seed. You know, it says in Galatians chapter 6 that God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will reap. And if we sow to the flesh, we'll reap corruption of the flesh. If we sow to the Spirit, we'll reap eternal life. So we should realize in our family life, in our relationship with our spouse and with our children, both by word, by action, or inaction, we're always sowing tiny seeds into the children. We're sowing seeds, and also every medium is sowing seeds. That's why we have to be vigilant. But I'm bringing all this out just for this one point. There's a battle over the children. And so, teachers, children's meeting teachers, as you're presenting lessons, the lessons each week, yes, I know they're that little, but they must be relevant, and they must be with a kind of consciousness. What are the children facing? What kind of things are the children facing? And this goes all the way through with the junior high or middle schoolers and the high schoolers. We have to know their situations so that the lessons can be applicable to them. But realize there is a battle. There is a battle. You know, earlier than this, in Exodus chapter 1, the whole account of the children of Israel in Egypt begins with this alarm of the Pharaoh that the children of Israel, they got too big. They have too much increase. And that threat, the increase threatens the Pharaoh. Now, again, we say types and so on. Please take a moment to consider this. Does that not mean that our children are a threatening to Satan? Think about that. They're so precious because they are arrows in the heart of the enemy. And he knows that. So he tries whatever he can from their very youth, from their early years, to try to draw them away. So parents, don't think, oh, the battle begins when you send them to school. Don't think this way. It's always a battle, and we need to be on guard. Now, back to a little bit to our history or our testimony of the last 2 years. If you recall, our kind of first rising up of what to do to take care of the children was that a series of videos were produced. Of course, many of you here participated in the producing of those videos. Weren't they delightful? You remember those? They're still online, right? They're still there, accessible. You could recycle them. And actually, I don't know how many thousands of saints, not just from New York, but other globally, have accessed those things. I get a little scared when I hear that those kind of numbers. But that served a purpose. That served a very particular purpose, and we're very thankful for the labor of the saints, and even of the children. So many teenagers, so many older children helped in producing those. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, we have a half year, right? We actually have 26 that are there, exactly half a year. But then in end of the summer into the fall of 2020, there was this feeling that we probably need to have something more in the districts, in the halls, because even by the end of 2020, certain halls were, you know, were with the 9 hall meeting halls here, plus the church in Rosendale, we actually have 10 different scenarios of whether saints are more in person or online and so on. And each hall has its situation. So on one hand, we want to have a citywide fellowship for the lessons and so on. On the other hand, we want to give the freedom in each hall to the brothers, to the serving ones, to meet the need of the saints in each hall, but in the way of fellowship. Well, since then, whatever has developed in each hall is what we have until now. And we haven't had, as I said, a time like this to kind of reset. Okay. And so it's our observation for now these almost, well, yes, it's two years now, where saints have risen up, but we don't have all the serving ones back to serve that we did before. And of course, in some places, the situation has changed. People have moved away, have shifted. And anyway, our situation today is that we're still quite undermanned in many of the halls. And so we don't have the number of serving saints that we did before. We have some new serving saints, but even some parents that have joined the service. But many of those have never had any kind of perfecting or training. And so everyone is just doing their best. And I want to say, we appreciate that. However, again, from our observation, it does seem that we may have fallen into a kind of situation that I'll use a biblical expression. I'm trying to wash feet, and I hope the water is not too hot. But we may have fallen into a situation that everyone is doing what's right in their own eyes. So in H Hall, yes, we gave you the liberty. Do whatever. Do what you need to do. We need to do something. That's very good. But we do have this feeling that probably we need to come back to have some calibrating fellowship, especially to review some of the basic principles of service. Some basic principles of service. Now, again, a little history. At the beginning of 2019, so that's a year before everything shut down, the Lord led us this way, that we would call a few of the serving ones from each hall together and have what we called at that time some perfecting fellowship. So we had a number of sessions with these saints, and throughout the year that group got bigger and bigger. And I believe the final time that we met may have been also in January of 2020. And and actually those recordings are available. And what we were trying to do was to help with the perfecting of all the serving saints, especially the new ones, many of whom are parents, to render some basic help that we all received as we are going on in our church life, how to serve in God's economy. And even though some may be even teachers in the secular world, you know, you may have some training and so on, actually, we realize all of us need this kind of recalibration to know God's way. And so we had these sessions, we had these meetings, and actually the first one, I believe, Sam, is up on our website. Yeah. So what we've done is the audio and the outline from our first session in 2019 is now in the children's meeting section. Where is it available? Media, okay. Can you repeat that? In the media section, of our website or the app. So there's a recording there. I think it's about an hour or so, and some fellowship. And at that time, we brothers did not go around all the halls to share this fellowship, nor did we call all the saints together to share this fellowship. At that time, we called a few saints, probably less than 15. The number may have grown, still less than 20. And we shared with those saints. And our intention was that throughout the following month or two, in every hall, the saints would then pass on the fellowship to all the serving saints. Because, for example, when we have a meeting like this, there are many serving ones who cannot come because of the time that we call. Some are sick, some are working, children have their programs, things like that. So there's never a time that we can get all the children's meeting serving ones and the parents together. So our thought was, if we prepare some fellowship, pass it on to the serving saints, in each hall, you could have something. And we know some halls had something on a Saturday afternoon. Some halls had something on a Lord's Day afternoon. And some halls had something throughout the week, according to their situation. Okay. So anyway, now we're making this available to all the serving ones. And we would encourage you, firstly, to be refreshed in that fellowship. And then secondly, pass that fellowship on in your districts, But I want to highlight just 3 points from that fellowship. And saints, actually, this is very basic. I understand this is, you know, we have this idiom, preaching to the choir, right? Preaching to the choir. But saints, I hope that we would all get the rust off. I hope you understand what I mean. That we all would exercise, even to come as little children, to these points. I don't know if we are ready for this. Let's see. Oh, we are. Just 3 things, saints. Just 3 things. I know you all know them, but I hope the Lord would refresh us in these things. Number one has to be number one, is prayer. Number two is the Word of God. And number three is fellowship, which is really the principle of the body. We must be rekindled in our prayer for the service. We must be rekindled in our prayer for the service. I know that we would not have been able to maintain what we have until today in all the halls unless someone has been praying. We understand, and we thank the Lord for this. But I think we need to pray for our prayer in every hall. In every hall, we need to, and I would like to speak this not only to the serving saints and the parents, but to all the brothers, the leading brothers in all the halls. We need to fan the flame of the spirit of prayer. Pray ourselves personally, and especially pray corporately, the serving saints. Many of the serving fellowship times, from my understanding, are still via Zoom. And saints, I don't know about you, but from my own experience and from the experience of, I would say, dozens of brothers and sisters that I've surveyed, it's just not the same. It's just not the same. When that is to pray online versus praying in person with a group of saints. I just want to encourage you all, if there's a way, find a way for saints to come together to pray. Now, do not misunderstand nor allow the enemy to misuse what I just said. Find a way. If there's just no way, then pray on Zoom, but fan the flame of prayer. Don't allow yourself to pray perfunctory prayers online, there hidden behind a screen. What is perfunctory prayer? I'll just say like this: prayer that doesn't have your whole heart in it. prayer that's not with the exercise of the Spirit. This is very basic, but actually, I want to say all, but I won't say that because I don't know that for a fact. But many churches throughout the earth in the past 3 years, the spirit of prayer has been affected by continuing this online. Now, maybe your group, again, I would say, do not misunderstand what I'm saying, and do not allow the enemy to misuse what I'm saying. That, okay, if it's Brother Ricky and the brother said in person, so you cancel your online prayer. Don't do that. Don't do that. If that's the only way, then you do that, but with fire. Don't allow the enemy any ground. We have been sustained over these 2 years by that level of prayer. Imagine, saints, what blessing will come if the Lord really could rekindle the spirit of prayer in the service. I just believe the blessing will be unlimited. The blessing will be unlimited because his heart is so much for this burden of the children. Saints, it's a battle. Every day, every week, every lesson is a battle. We need the prayer. The word of God, we need to be refreshed in our touch with the word as we prepare the lessons. And of course, we have so much fellowship. I'm not going to delve into that about premature knowledge and this and that. We know these principles. My point is that we, as the serving saints and as the parents, we need to be refreshed in the word. So many saints, I recall, I'll give you a couple of testimonies. When I was a teenager, Chair Octavio's here, we were together in the church life in that little hall, right, the original hall there. And I remember on Lord's Days, we would have the ministry meeting in the morning and then the Lord's table in the afternoon. Remember those sweet Lord's tables in the afternoon time, about 5:30. After the Lord's table, I see Ivy there. We were there. After the Lord's table, we'd have open sharing for about an hour. I remember very many times a children serving one would be in the meeting, and whatever the message was that morning, actually in those days, all the local churches, brothers were giving messages on Lord's Day morning. And here, I remember for a great period of time, we were doing the Genesis, right? Genesis life study. The brothers would share the Genesis life study. And so saints would just share on Lord's Day in that after Lord's table, you know, stand up and just share some enjoyment. There was no particular line. It was kind of like a love feast where you can just pick, you know, anything. So saints would share, oh, I enjoyed this in my group meeting. Oh, this morning I enjoyed this and this. Oh, and so on. And very often saints would start to share what they enjoyed in the morning. And a children's meeting teacher says, I can't believe it. I was on children's meeting and we were speaking the same thing. You remember testimonies like this? We were speaking exactly the same thing. And those serving saints were so fed by their service. So it's not like, yeah, I missed the meeting. Like, feed me, I missed the meeting. They were fed by their service. Last weekend, we had some saints coming to fellowship with the Spanish-speaking saints. Two brothers came. And one of their wives gave this testimony, that in her locality, when they were just starting the church life, this was in Puerto Rico, that for 2.5 years, she did not attend one single Lord's Table meeting because of the need there. And the meeting hall was there, and down the street in her home was the children's meeting facility. So the parents would drop off their children here and then go to the meeting. And she told us for more than 2 years, because of the need. And at first she said she was bitter. Oh, there's no one to help and this and that. Eventually, she told us this testimony. She was so fed by her service. Now, again, do not misunderstand what I'm saying, and do not allow the enemy to misapply what I'm saying. I don't want that kind of situation. I don't want any sisters. I don't want brothers. I don't want you to miss the Lord's table for 2.5 years. That's not the point of what my testimony. My point is this. My point is this. Her enjoyment of the word during that period of time, the Lord gave her a very particular enjoyment, unmatched in her living since in the church life. And that was 30 plus years ago. She was so fed in the word, that she could be a supply and she could provide that environment for the children in such a happy way. Imagine if the sister who is hosting the children's meeting is sour. Wouldn't there be an atmosphere? But that sister had the grace. That was the Lord's special provision. But she attributed it to her time in the Word. And she said she, even as she was preparing lessons, not that she would just see things, not things that to share with the children, but she would just see revelation. I thought, oh, what a testimony. What a testimony. So saints, we need the Word. Now, what I'm going to say next is not an observation of anything that's gone on here in the church here. But I do know in some places, that over these last 2 years, because of the lack of coordination, the lack of prayer, some have ended up using material to teach the children that is either from the world or from Christianity. Now, I'm not saying this to criticize anyone. The Lord knows my heart. I think you know my heart. I'm just saying this for our learning. Yes, for these past 2 years, we were in a kind of mode, do whatever we can. Okay, and the Lord has covered us. But I would say, saints, the Word of God has to be our source. Yeah, not Aesop's, what is it? Aesop's Fables. Yeah, but I've seen that, saints. I've seen that in some places where the serving saints thought, oh, that's a good moral. Let's get that story. And they were teaching that in the children's meeting. I would say, no. We have too much of a heritage. We have too many resources that we don't have to go that way. If someone is stuck on a certain week, how to present, just, next point, have fellowship. Just have fellowship. There are saints among us probably who taught that lesson maybe 3 or 4 times already, maybe for 3 or 4 decades now, and may have a story or 2 or 3 to offer to you. Because sometimes we may teach one lesson, and we've learned this lesson, no? We come to a lesson. Oh, I remember this. I covered this last time. And you think, last time I have it in my notes. I did this and this and this. But the Lord won't let you do the same thing this time. He just won't let you. If you're taking the way of the tree of life, the way of dependence on the Lord, He won't let you rely on your past success. Even it's wonderful. But you say, Lord, what shall I present this time? How shall I present this? Now, it could be the Lord will give you the green light. No, this is good. But have you never experienced this? You think, that was good. But the Lord said, no, that was good. I gave you that. I'm going to give you something else. And that may come directly from the Lord. Or oftentimes it comes from the way of fellowship. So just open it to your serving group. And saints, let's move on to this point. We always serve in the principle of the body. Now, In this, remember, the Lord sent the disciples out two by two. He always sent the disciples two by two. And that sets up a pattern, right? Kind of principle. And we wish that we could have such a carrying out of all our service. That's why when I encourage, if Albert's playing piano, I think somebody should sit next to him and just be there playing with him. And that person doesn't have to know anything about music, just in the principle of two by two. Okay, now, in serving the children, I do realize that because of our numbers, maybe on a certain day, you're the only one with five or six children, with three or four children. We still serve in the principle of the body by having what? Prayer and fellowship with others during the week. So even we might be the only one, but we don't carry it out solo. We carry that out in the principle of the body. Saints, I know these are basic principles, but I do feel we need the recalibration. We need the recalibration. You know, in the Working Saints and Young Families Conference that we had in March, we had these RE words, right? Right? Revive, revival, right? Reset, right? What was the third one? Rekindle. Sorry, not revive. Rekindle, reset, and reconsecrate. So I'd like to introduce recalibrate for our fellowship today. Recalibrate. And actually, next weekend is our next Working Saints and Young Families. The brothers will have some things to share about that later. Recalibrate. But be aware, saints. Many of you here already have some years of experience in the service. That not everyone has received training before. So it's not a recalibration. This is their first time opportunity to learn. Opportunity to learn. We want the saints to learn to serve in God's economy. Remember that story in Matthew 7, at the end of the Lord's discourse on the decree of the kingdom? And he says, he who hears my word, right? He's like what? Someone who, and does them? He's like a man who built his house on a rock. And then from three directions, there's the testing that comes. And then he who hears and doesn't do them is like a man who builds his house on the sand. And again, the tests come. We don't want anyone who is with us to serve the Lord, give their time, genuine consecration, sacrifice for the Lord, and to serve is to sacrifice. We understand that. We don't want anyone among us one day to go to the Lord and the Lord say, no, that was built on sand. No, they come, Lord, Lord, open to us. And the Lord says, I never knew you. And he says, but didn't I do this in your name? Didn't I do this and this? And I did so many things. And the Lord doesn't deny you did them. But he didn't ask you to do it that way. That's the key. We have to, our service must be based on his word. And so we have to be faithful for all the saints serving with us. And I hope that we are not so caught up with the doing of the service, carrying out things so busy, that we don't pay attention to the perfecting of the saints that the Lord has placed with us. Now, am I qualified to perfect? Who's to say I can perfect? All we're saying is pass on the help that we ourselves received in our church life. And be faithful to pass that on. Be faithful first to practice what we've received, right? Timothy says, in doing so, you'll save both yourself and those who hear. And then pass on what we've received so that others can advance and even be more perfected than we. That would be a joy. And I would like to say that all of this applies not just to the children's meeting per se, even to our pre-K levels, even to the nursery level. I know you're not teaching lessons in the nursery, but this is a holy service. This is still a holy service, and these principles still apply. I've given this testimony before. My first official service in the church life here was on nursery. We were placed, I see Lily here. Paul Stumpf and I, we were put together with Regina, who's my sister-in-law today. We three were placed on a team with about a dozen other sisters, grandmas, middle age, young moms, single sisters, college students, among them all. It was what a potpourri of saints that we had there. And every 3 weeks, we would meet, not here. We would meet at the IHOP down Hillside Avenue. Is it still there? 170-something? Yeah. We would meet at IHOP at 8:30. Oh, my goodness. We laughed so much. And I tell you, if not for this, there's no way that I would interact with these sisters. So imagine, there was like 13 sisters and us, we two high school brothers, okay? And so after we have that time, then it was about 10 o'clock, we'd all go to one of their homes and then have an hour of prayer and fellowship. This is nursery. This is nursery, not the morning nursery, but the evening nursery, you know, because we had the Lord's table in the evening. So we had two groups of nursery saints. And then they would train it. That's where I learned to change diapers. They trained us how to do that. Mostly my role was to be with the boys, sit on the floor, don't get them riled up and excited, but to read books to them. So I got trained that way too. Because, you know, if you leave it to Paul and to me, we'd do a good job with the boys, but they would be, you know. So we were trained. But saints, my point is that 3 hours of fellowship for nursery. Now, I'm not saying you have to apply that, but I am saying this. Even the nursery saints should apply this. At least prayer, fellowship. Then all our service is building the church. All our service is building the church. So maybe I'll just say that much, brothers. I think you may have something too.
This fellowship is for the children serving ones and all the parents of the children. in fact, this is on all of us. It doesn't mean, you know, there's a particular group serving and the rest watching. Rather, we are here for the same purpose, same thing. When our brother using the verse, yeah, the chapter in Psalm 127, I mentioned, behold, children are the heritage of Jehovah. Heritage of Jehovah means it belongs to Jehovah. So for our children, we always think, you know, it's my children. It's me and my wife's children. But here it says, it's the heritage of Jehovah. And the fruit of the womb, a reward. You know, we all enjoy our children, right? It's a fruit. You know, you enjoy fruit. I enjoy fruit. It's from the Lord, and our children are, you know, enjoyable. I don't know if you all enjoy or not. Sometimes, of course, they are naughty, and we don't enjoy. But anyhow, I think most of the time, I enjoy my children. I think we all need to learn to pay attention to them and to enjoy them. Because they are not always with you. When the verse said, behold, children. I'm now beholding my children's children. Okay, then the verse mentioned about like arrows in the hand of a mighty man. Arrows means they are the one that can do something. Of course, they can do something to you or me or to the enemy. I think here it shows that our brother also mentioned that the man enemy is afraid of our children, just like they want to kill the Israelites, even when the mother's giving the birth. So to us, I mean, our children are so important. So important to us, so important to the Lord, and so important to the church, to God's family. So I really enjoyed that portion. I think our brother gave us a very practical word. I just want to repeat a few points. Concerning the children, the Old Testament mentioned the children of Israel, when they came out of Egypt, the parents were instructed that to tell things to the children. So we do, as parents, we have a responsibility in order for the children of Israel to go on, then there is the need for us to take care of our next generation. In fact, our next generation is not just the future of us as a family, but also is the future of the church, is the future of the Lord's recovery. So it's so important that we pay our full attention to our children. And, you know, what's written in the Old Testament, they are for admonition. Admonition is not just for instruction. Admonition is also for perfection. You know, when we learn, we are perfected. When we apply the principles to the children of Israel, to our children, they will be perfected. So it's very important that we pay attention to the word, because the word, they are there, and they are also with examples, but can be applied to us, can be applied to our children very practically. Okay, about some other so the children are with us the most, you know. I'm speaking to the parents now. Of course, the serving one, they have their time assigned, all the time of their service. But the parents are the ones having the children the most every day. So when I got saved, eventually the first area I served was the children. And the children, of course, we need to love them, especially the serving ones. They may not be our children, but they are the children of the saints, and they are also the future of the church. So we need to pay attention to them. But the parents are the most important ones. Just to let the serving one take care of them, I think that that's not good enough. That's very lacking, because the children are with us the most. So we need to, the serving ones need to help the parents to serve with you. Otherwise, we may labor a lot, but when they go home, back to their habits, you know, their daily, you know, routine, then it discounts our service. I think this is a very important for us to, our brother mentioned that we need to be vigilant every day. This need to be conveyed to the parents. You know, we serving ones, of course, we like to be vigilant for all these young ones, but we need to convey to the parents. And the tearing the ground and sowing the seed, I think it's very practical for us to apply this word. Tearing the ground is knowing the heart of our children, knowing the heart of the children we are serving. Sometimes they are they come to the class, to the gathering, and they behave. But sometimes they don't behave. You know, among them, they may joking. They may be joking about the lessons. You know, about the serving ones even. So we need to be careful. So the sowing and the tearing, these two goes together. If we didn't till properly, but whatever you sow, the ground is not receiving it, then you know, our service will be discounted. Only the two working together, then we can gain the children. Then the children will be open. So for us to serving ones, it's very important for us to work, to labor with the parents. Then we have their cooperation. Then the most of the time when they are home, they can help. Whatever we have shared, then the parents also can strengthen to apply. And that will be very beneficial to the children. Okay, just last few things. The children are the threatening to the enemy. I think we don't think that way, but they are. Of course, they are a threat. They are a threat to the enemy. Depends on how they are doing. If they are doing not well, then it's not a threat. But if they are doing well, it's good for them. It's good for the family, and it's also a big threat to the enemy. So we need to see this picture. And our brother touched a very crucial point. That is, the serving the children is not just for the children, their welfare. Our serving the children is in a bigger picture. That is God's economy. If we don't have that picture, we will just try to, we keep them, make them good, and they can have a good behavior. Of course, we want good results. You know, they can in the meeting they can pay attention. But the bigger picture is that we are serving in the context of God's economy, and that is we want them to be proper vessels that eventually that the Lord can get into them, and eventually they can be vessels useful to the master and for God's purpose. You know, the children went to see the children, and then eventually they will be in junior high, eventually they will be in high school, eventually they will be in college. It all depends on the children from the very beginning. If they are, we have brought them properly and they have good character, then eventually they will be seeds of the gospel in the junior high, in the high school, and in the college. And also, when they are gained by the Lord, they are very good seeds, not just seeds. They can invite their friends, and they can affect their family. So this is, this is just not just taking care of the children. We're taking care of the gospel. We're taking care of all the other areas. It may be very difficult, sometimes when you try to invite the neighbors to come. But once your kid play with the kid, the other kid, you don't need to invite the parents. The parents will come because they saw the kids, so good, so well behaved, and they want their kids to be the same. So if we see God's economy and we see the bigger picture, then our labor will not just be trying to, just keep them quiet. I would just share this. And I think these three words is very helpful. We need to have prayer and the word and fellowship. Amen.
One more word.
I'm going to add a word, not in this line, but something else. There's the word habit, or in the scripture, it uses the word custom. In Hebrews 10, I think we're probably all familiar with this verse, not abandoning our own assembling together as the custom with some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day drawing near. So it uses the word custom, which is habit. Actually, I looked up this word in the Greek. It says this: doing what one is accustomed to on the basis of habit or tradition. Actually, that's the definition of the root of this word, which is ethos, or the root is ethel, E-T-H-O. Doing what one is accustomed to, that is, on the basis of habit or tradition. And I'd like to have two applications. By the way, after this little speaking, we would like to give opportunity for you all to share, to either to confirm the fellowship, bring out some points from your what's needed in your halls or so on. But I'd like to apply this in two ways. Firstly, to the serving saints. To the serving saints, we have been, as I said, in these past couple of years, something has developed, and it has kept us afloat up until now. But I do feel, we brothers feel, that in every hall, there should be a reconsideration in fellowship with the leading brothers in your hall of the entire format of the service. One example, in the past, we used to start our children's meeting here, also in at least hall 2, from what I remember, also Brooklyn, hall 4, hall 5, I don't know about the other halls. We'd start our children's meeting at 10 a.m. That is, when the church meeting begins, the children's meeting runs concurrently the whole time. And many localities outside of New York City, I'm aware, do not practice that way. Children are with the parents in the Lord's table. Anyway, eventually, because of when we were coming back together in person, there was this feeling here in Hall 1, I'm talking about as an example, that we would practice that the children would come, and we just didn't have enough serving ones to sustain something for the entire 2+ hours. So the children have been with the parents in the Lord's table meeting. Then, close to 11 a.m., then they make their exit, and there is children's meeting from 11, during the prophesying meeting, from 11 to 12, 12:15, 12:30. There, at first, we noticed actually quite a number of parents were here with the children. But as the months have gone on, there's less and less, and the parents now come closer to 11 to bring the children, and then so there's we understand. In many families, it is quite an exercise, I would say, even a battle, to keep your children sitting there and quiet during the meeting and so on. And so some of the parents, they've come to this conclusion: why bother? I'm missing the meeting anyway. I'm missing the meeting. I'm out. I'm this and that. So why not just come at 11? Well, we feel that's a great loss. That's a great loss that we had something before to serve the families this way. And you know, the children's meeting has these particular aspects of the goal of the children's meeting, the function of the children's meeting. Number one is to allow more saints to come to the meeting. So a few coordinate together, take care of the children. This is somewhat a kind of babysitting function, you know, and allow more to come to the meeting, right? That's one function. Of course, we realize the children's meeting is much more than that. It has its cultivation and educational aspect. where now we have the children before us, and we have a time of singing that's sowing seeds into them, a time of sharing the word in a practical way, sowing seeds into them. And we're shaping the vessel. We're cooperating with the parents to shape the vessel. That's the second function. The third function is the gospel, that the children's meeting is an excellent vehicle for our children to invite friends. And through that, the gospel eventually goes out. So the children's meeting has these three functions. So right now, I'm just talking about the first function, more people in the meeting, to get your supply, to just be blending with the saints on the Lord's Day. So there has been some thought in Hall 1, we maybe should reconsider. But if we're going to do that, we need more hands. We need more saints to come back into the service. So this is something we have to fellowship about, something we have to pray about. So I don't know the particulars in the other eight halls or at Rosendale. I don't know what the situation is, but we want to encourage everyone. Do not go on just according to ethos. You understand what I mean? Whatever custom or habit you've developed in the last 2 years, let's come back to the Lord personally and corporately to make sure we have the Lord's smile, to make sure that whatever we're doing is paving the way for the Lord to bless. And it's good for us to do this anyway, in every aspect of our service, periodically, that we could have a new beginning with the Lord. Now, with the parents, a word. It's very possible that in these last two and a half years, all of us have experienced this. We've had changes in our lifestyles. And you know what's happened? Personally and by family, we have developed new habits, new customs. And we have to make sure that those habits are aligned with God's economy. Be careful. It says in Daniel that the way that the enemy attacks God's people is to wage war with the saints. I think that's what it says in chapter 7. But I think in chapter 8 it says, he destroys the ones who are complacently secure. We should be careful never to become complacently secure. That is, we're good, we're chill, and we just fell into a kind of lifestyle, we're okay. Make sure you have the Lord's blessing. Why? Because everything is sowing seeds. Everything is sowing seeds. I told you that I wanted to read you a verse before this kind of verse I would question. Why is it even in the Bible? This is 2 Kings 16 concerning Ahaz, not the Ahaz over Israel, but the Ahaz over Judah, this king. But he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, and he even caused his son to pass through the fire, according to the abominations of the nations that Jehovah had dispossessed before the children of Israel. And a reference leads you to Psalm 106, where it says, they also sacrificed their sons and their daughters to demons and poured out innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted. Saints, why is such a verse in the Bible? To tell us that the children of Israel, this is not the nations, the children of Israel, parents, sacrificed their children to demons and caused their own sons to pass through fire. This was a sacrifice. They sacrificed them. This is not that the enemy came and captured all the children. This is a willing sacrifice of parents among God's people. How could that happen? And why is that in the Bible? I believe this is an admonition. We have to be careful in our life, in our home, with our children, that there would be nothing in our lives built up as an idol, that would the result would be we sacrificed our children by sowing improper seeds that we didn't realize. by talking a certain way, going certain places, purchasing certain things. It could be unawares. I just want to encourage all of us as parents, grandparents, serving saints, caring for all our children corporately, we just go back to the Lord and let him shine on us, that every aspect of our life would be under his light for the sake of the children. And I end with this, John 17:19. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself. The Lord sanctified himself, even the Lord Jesus, for the sake of the disciples. May we take that same grace to sanctify ourselves, all of us, for the children in the church. Amen.